Thanks
Great
to
series.
Jenny Forrester for that one. March 18th, I'll be at the Barnes and Noble in the Tannisborn Barnes and Noble in Beaverton. And that's at 6 p.m. Broadway books at the end of May, May 28th at 7 p.m. So you can get a full list of the tour at the Hawthorne site or at my website, which is megannicolecruise.com. It's MEGAN, Nicole, NICOLE, and then Cruise, which is KRUSE.
Thank you, Megan Cruz, for being our guest today on Between the Covers. I'm really happy for you.
Thank you so much. It's really wonderful talking with you, and thank you.
It's a beautiful book.
Thank you
That
so
first
much.
chapter just was perfect. Yeah, I was
It
hooked.
means so much to me to hear that. Thank you.
And thank you to Liz Crane and Rhonda Hughes at Hawthorne Books for making this possible.
Yes, 1,000 thank yous to them, my heroes.
Yay. And thank you for listening to KBOO. I'm Leanne Kranz. Stay tuned for Words and Pictures.
Good people, stay tuned every second and fourth Thursday at 8 p.m. for Guess Who's Coming to Radio, a show with music and discussion addressing socio-political issues relevant to African peoples in this nation. We encourage you to call in with some positive, proactive solutions to what we are facing today. Guess Who's Coming to Radio, every second and fourth Thursday at 8 p.m. on KBOO, your community radio.
Looks like these kids are going to have some fun, doesn't it?
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of PDX Cocoon and their first public storytelling event on Thursday, March 12th at 5 p.m. at Lola's Room in Portland. The theme of this first storytelling event is risk. PDX Cocoon is a student-led group that is working to facilitate storytelling for Portland youth through workshops and events. Again, that's Episode 1, Risk, by PDX Cocoon on Thursday, March 12th, 5 p.m. at Lola's Room, below the Crystal Ballroom at 1332 West Burnside in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
I'd sure hate to be left out.
Welcome to Words and Pictures. I'm your host, SW Conser, and today we're talking about a comics project that's meant to educate and empower. And to that end, we have comics legend here in Portland, Becky Hawkins.
Hi there.
And we have Justin Bury from the Community Alliance of Tenants. He's the executive director. Justin, great to have you here.
Thanks for having us.
So, Becky and Justin, first off, let's talk about this project. It's called Know Your Rights, Don't Get Evicted. How did you two come together, this cartoonist and this tenants' rights advocate, and what sparked this project?
Well, I would say that with the Community Alliance of Tenants, this has been a project that has been in the works for a couple of years. I personally started out about 5 years ago as a volunteer on the Renters' Rights Hotline, and that's a hotline that renters call in, and we hear a lot about the types of struggles that they're facing. And it seemed that every time I was speaking to a tenant that was facing an eviction, had they known just a couple of key tidbits of information before getting a court date, it would have improved their chances substantially in terms of being able to stay in their home or making good decisions or having a good amount of time to move out if that was what they needed to do. And normally people were calling either after they had a court date or when the court date was the next day. And at that point, it's really difficult to be able to give them enough information or to make decisions in order to have a good outcome. And so when I joined staff at Community Alliance of Tenants in 2011 and had conversations with members and other staff members and other volunteers in terms of, you know, we always talk about what are some new ways that we can get information to tenants in a way that is interesting and accessible and empowering so that they have that knowledge and information long before they're actually facing the issue or the, you know, grave danger of an eviction itself. And so it's kind of been a long project coming. And, you know, we met with Becky because we went through a, I'm just kind of skipping ahead here, but I can talk about the whole
Well, you've
process.
Done. You hooked up with Know Your City,
That's
which
correct.
Used to be the Dill Pickle Club, and they've done a number of comics projects that are meant to get the history of Portland and the region out to the populace and teach people about the place they live in. And this was kind of something new.
Yeah, exactly. And I would say that their Comics for Change series and their History of Oregon comic series definitely played a role in the inspiration for this project, as well as there is a group out of New York City called the Center for Urban Pedagogy, and they have a project called Making Policy Public, where they will take really complex policy processes, such as like if you're a street vendor and you need to get a permit, or if you're a juvenile facing the criminal justice system, they actually have illustrated posters and books that are kind of serving the same purpose of if you don't speak English or if you don't really know what all of your rights or what the process is, how can we create new forms of interesting materials and publications to demystify that process and make it more accessible to everyone. And so I would say that the combination of those two projects, both from New York City and from the Center for Urban Pedagogy, really played a big role in terms of the inspiration for this project. And when we approached Mark at Know Your City, he was definitely gung-ho about it and really excited about it. And we were able to get some funding from not only the Regional Arts and Culture Council, but also a paper printing company called Sappy Fine Papers that they invest in some of the organizations that want to use things like illustrations and fine paper products in order to create social change. And so that's kind of how the project got off the ground. And then we had a selection process to find the artist for the comic book. And Becky emerged as the victorious one.
So Becky, what made you interested in taking on this project and turning all of this dry text into something that a little kind of a narrative arc that people could appreciate and get some information out of?
Well, doing an informational comic is something that I had never done before. I mostly do autobio and journal comics, travel comics, so it's usually me in a new place, usually having some kind of really silly adventure. I had seen a friend of mine, Adrian Wallace, who I believe was on here a few months ago, do an informational comic, and I watched that project about economic clusters come together, and I thought that was really interesting. And then here was something where the two major things that I would be drawing, it's all about buildings and people, which are two of my favorite things to draw. So it was kind of a very nice fit.
Mm-hmm. And not only was, you know, because I was on the selection committee, we actually pulled together some community partners to kind of wade through about, I would say, 20 or so applications. And one thing that really stood out, not only was Becky's great talent when it came to the drawings, but also a little bit of her story herself, because we wanted to make sure that whoever the artist was a renter and maybe had some experiences or knew some people that had faced challenges as renters, because that's a really important aspect that we bring into the work at Community Alliance of Tenants, is making sure that the people that are most affected by the challenges that renters face are actually leading the work. And so Becky had a really great story and a really interesting perspective in terms of what it means to be a renter, whether it's in Portland or New York or other cities throughout the country.
Well, Becky, you have a pretty exciting background yourself. You're not the stereotype of a cartoonist working away in the basement on your computer. Your day job is working with Northwest Children's Theater, and you have had adventures around the world as a saxophonist on cruise ships.
That's correct. And kind of in between that, I was living in New York with some family, doing completely underpaid, ridiculous, weird orchestra gigs in old moldy theaters and synagogue basements. And I was born in Pittsburgh, moved to Indiana, then moved to New York, then went around on ships all the time. So I really got this sense of place, where if you go to a new city, you just know, like, the buildings, everything's a little different, you get around differently, people's clothing's a bit different. And I find that really interesting. And I think one of my favorite things in a comic is when you can look at a street and go, oh my God, I know that's definitely Russia. They have that, you know, that green strip in the middle of this avenue next to that building. That's totally it. I think that's really fun. I kind of love geeking out over details like that.
And your regular comic is called French Toast Comics. And it's oftentimes drawn on postcards. Is that something that you just got used to when you were traveling around?
That is, actually. Right before I left for another 6-month contract, my dad came home from the art store with this pile of blank postcard watercolor paper and kind of said, I found these at a store. You could maybe send some to us, because my dad is adorable. and so it was kind of a chance to play with a new media, because I hadn't really done watercolor before, and also keep in touch with my family, and also work in these little bite-sized chunks, so that if you only have an hour between shows, or you have, you know, a lunch hour at your desk job or something, you can feel like you completed something and not get bogged down.
You know, it seems like one of the things that you would appreciate being a traveler, and a happy traveler as it is that not everybody has to own their own home. You should be able to have a place to go home to, or easily find a place to rent. And whereas it used to be an easy thing to do in Portland, it's getting harder and harder to find an affordable, decent place to rent in this town anymore.
Yeah, I know that. And I actually know that I've been really, really lucky. I moved here about 3 years ago, so I think I have about 6 more months till I'm allowed to say, God, this city's really changed since I came here. And I, you know, single, no pets, and I can give everyone a big smile and say, hi, I also play an instrument and love coffee. And that, I will fully admit, that helped me a lot in finding a room in a big house that is affordable and pretty. And I know not everyone has that. One of the eye-opening moments I had in this comic was one of the characters uses a wheelchair. And I thought, okay, what's his apartment building going to look like? So I biked around for a little bit. And, oh my God, Portland really loves their front stairs. Like, I could not actually find anything in between, like, my 5-mile bike commute that someone in a wheelchair could get up. There were, you know, a couple of houses with a ramp tacked onto it, but nothing
accessible.
Yeah, just nothing where it looked like it was supposed to be there.
Mm-hmm. Well, the comic book, Know Your Rights, Don't Get Evicted, features stories of real characters, maybe with their names changed.
Well, I would say that they're compilations of different types of stories that we hear on the Renters' Rights Hotline every day. Given people's, we call them barriers, you know, whether it's a disability or a previous eviction or a bad credit, you know, or being in a family can be considered a barrier. Everyone has, and every different communities have different challenges when it comes to finding and keeping safe and stable and healthy and affordable rental housing. And so we, you know, I'd say the biggest challenge for us as we were creating the comic was there are so many different types of challenges that tenants face, and there's so many different ways in which they can face an eviction and different outcomes. What is a way that we can present this in a manner that is accessible and interesting, and really covers all the different types of situations that tenants can face? And so we created basically 3 little vignettes with different characters that were more or less compilations of the types of challenges that tenants face when they call us on the Renters Rights Hotline.
And one of the characters, and Becky was just mentioning this, was a person with disabilities. His name is Steve, and he has limited mobility, so he's unable to move things around as much as he wants to, and he gets into a situation because of that. There's also Addie, whose rent keeps going up, and there's a family who moves into an apartment that has repair needs, mm-hmm. and has to report them without getting in trouble with their landlord.
Right. And so being that Community Alliance of Tenants is also a social change organization, of course we had to bring in some of what we see as unfair or unjust evictions, where the tenant has actually done what they should be doing within their rights, and actually is their responsibility to do, is to report any repair needs to the landlord. But the unfortunate challenge that tenants face, especially low-income tenants, when they do try to address some of those repair issues or other issues related to their tenancy is the very real threat of what they call a no-cause eviction, which means in Oregon right now, if you're on a month-to-month lease or if you're at the end, the tail end of a fixed-term lease, a landlord can simply say, I'm ending this agreement and not have to give any kind of reason or justification for it. And technically, they're not allowed to do it if, for instance, you're asking for a repair or you have joined a tenants union, or there's a couple of what they call protected actions. In reality, a lot of times tenants feel like they're doing the right thing that's within their rights, and they can be faced with what they call retaliatory acts, such as an eviction. And so that's something that we are trying to address kind of on the systems change level. But it makes it harder for us when we're speaking to tenants about what their rights are and what they should do, that sometimes they have to make that decision of, do I feel safe enough asking for this repair? If I do get an eviction or what they call a termination notice, what are my options in terms of finding a new place? Because they can be very difficult to fight and to prove that they are in fact retaliatory. So there's an educational aspect, but there's also a social change aspect that we're hoping to build awareness around and get people interested in saying, this is not a just policy, and then let's see what we can do to change it.
You're listening to Words and Pictures on KBOO. I'm your host, SW Conser. And my guests today are Becky Hawkins, creator of French Toast Comics, and Justin Bury, executive director of the Community Alliance of Tenants. They're collaborating on the comic Know Your Rights, Don't Get Evicted, with the local group Know Your City. One thing that you portray in the comics is going to court, which can be a really intimidating process for people. And you sort of demystify the process of fighting for your legal rights. One of the characters in the comic book ends up opting to go to court over this case.
Yeah, and one of the things I did to prepare for drawing the comic was actually attend evictions court one morning, and it was scary. I wasn't even there for myself, and that entire building is just scary. Mm-hmm. Everything's huge and gray and looks really old, and you could see this very clear division between people in suits walking confidently down the hallway and people who just clearly didn't know what to expect, didn't know what they should be doing. They usually came there alone. One time after a case ended, the person asked the judge, so what do I do now? And the judge says, well, I can't give you any legal advice. And the guy just says, no, really, what do I do? Like, can I go to the second floor and fill something out? Do I have to get packed up today? Really, what do I do?
And that's often what we hear, is folks literally showing up without any kind of information or support. And so one of the great things that we just started doing with a new project is actually having a staff member at the evictions court and offering some support and information to those tenants, and actually trying to get in contact with those tenants who are showing up to a court date to give them some information.
Yeah, you mentioned legal aid. That's a good resource. But the best thing that you point out in the comic is really to just prevent things from escalating to that point by knowing how to go about dealing with rental situations in a proactive way.
Absolutely. You know, what we tell tenants is the best way to avoid going to court is to prepare yourself as if you're going to court. And that means writing down every interaction you have with your landlord, saving emails, even text messages, taking photos, asking witnesses to sign statements that say, hey, I witnessed this conversation you had. We usually tell tenants, if you can avoid face-to-face confrontation with your landlord, especially if it's kind of like a really emotionally charged situation, it may be best just to write everything down in a letter and then send it to them. That way it's in writing, and the landlord, it's not a he said, she said kind of situation. And that way, once a landlord starts recognizing, hey, this tenant actually kind of knows what they're doing. They're citing the law. They're citing ORS 90.320 when it comes to making repairs. And they're providing with pictures. It sounds like this tenant might be doing all they need to do in case this ever does go to court. So maybe I should take a different approach with this tenant. Maybe I should see if we can work something out, because it always is kind of a negotiation whenever there's a problem. You know, you have your landlord that wants to not only provide a good place to live for their tenant, but also make a profit. And then the tenant was trying to address some of these immediate needs. There should always be some way to find some common ground. And we find that good documentation is always the best way to do that and the best way to avoid having to talk to a lawyer in the first place.
So I know the comic is coming out soon. Know Your Rights, Don't Get Evicted. How can people get a hold of a copy of it for themselves?
Well, we do have a big release party that's coming up at the Oregon Public House. That's up in the Woodlawn neighborhood on Northeast Deakum. It's actually going to be an all-day event, but our presentation will be, I believe, at 7 p.m. on Monday, March 30th. So we'll have some copies there for people to pick up. And we'll be hearing from Becky and some of the people that helped work on the comic book, as well as some stories from tenants themselves that have either worked with community lines of tenants or themselves face an eviction, because we really value tenants' personal stories when it comes to the work that we do.
So Becky, one of the things that I notice about your artwork, and one of the reasons you're such a good fit for this comic, is that you're obviously a person of the world. You're a very sophisticated person, but your artistic style sort of harkens back to some of the mid-20th century family-friendly comics. It's very accessible, and it's got very bright colors. It's got almost a Carl Barks sort of sensibility to it, the guy who was part of the Walt Disney comics and stories, a classic era.
Well, thank you. That is kind of where my art comes from. I got kicked out of the fourth grade comic book club for my art being too cute.
Oh, really?
I could not make dinosaurs scary, and I couldn't make cars look like cars. But I loved newspaper comics. I liked New Yorker comics. I liked the kind of bubbly, friendly look, and comics were just kind of this world that you could just open a book and sink yourself into. Whereas with prose, you have to read it and parse it. As soon as you open a comic book, you kind of get this feeling immediately, whether it's something really gritty and angsty, or whether it's shiny and friendly, and whether or something in between. There's just kind of an emotional connection right away just by looking at it, which I think is also helpful if you're trying to get across information that can be difficult or confusing or riddled with anxiety. It is nice to be able to just break up the information and have some kind of personal connection while you're reading it. One of the things that was fun working on the Renter's Rights comic was the idea that we needed to get information across. However, you know, while somebody's in the foreground looking at bills and trying to figure out whether they need to move out, how they're going to pay it or something, working at a children's theater, I see a lot of families all the time, and I kind of realize, oh, kids are always moving around, or they're always tugging on you, or they're always making noise, they're doing something. So it was really fun to be able to have in the background, oh, they're trying to pick their brother up and he's really way too big for that. That's funny. And, you know, there's going to be toys on the floor. I wanted to make everything look lived in, because that's part of the idea of home, is if you look in a room, you can kind of get a sense of who's there. When I was working on ships, for example, you get a bunk and half of a closet and a magnetic wall, but everybody's cabin looked completely different because, you know, what's on the wall? Is your stuff laying out? Is the curtain open or closed? And I really like finding people's personalities in those little details. One of the interesting things about working with this project, I've worked with a writer once or twice, but I've definitely never done anything that was written by committee nearly to this extent. And one of the nice things about Portland is a huge cartoonist support system where you can email someone in the middle of the night and go, oh my God, does this even look right? And the next morning they're like, I couldn't sleep. Yeah, no, this guy's, it looks like he's trying to pick up the dog instead of the coffee cup. It's and you go, oh, thanks, man. I had no idea. So that's been great to have.
And that was a real value that Know Your City brought to the project as well, because they have such a deep connection with different artists and different writers in the community. And so after that first draft, when we sent it out, we got a lot of great feedback in terms of how to make sure that this really short, quick comic book is at once displaying all this super complex information, but reading well and is engaging and accessible. And so certainly writing by committee has had its challenges, and I don't know if Becky would ever want to do it again, but she's been really great in terms of bringing that artistic perspective to it. And as we're trying to kind of distill these really complex, important information to a level where people are enjoying reading it and understanding understanding what how this process is working, and maybe feel like, oh, I actually want to do something about this after I read this. You know, maybe they want to become a member of the Community Alliance of Tenants, or maybe they want to write their legislator to say, hey, you know, I don't think these evictions are very fair. And so I think that that's where a way that art can really play a great role. And I think writing it by committee, although it was at times challenging, it may have given us a better product in the end.
It sounds like you want this comic project to be not only empowering, but also eye-opening.
We want it to be everything and all things.
Absolutely, everything in the world. It's just gonna...
So what's your ideal, what's your hope for this baby? When you send it out in the world, what do you want to happen, ideally?
Just ideally, it will help people avoid getting in terrible situations that people get into every day. I mean, that's a big part of it. And, you know, if somebody who's not a renter or somebody who's not a tenant or somebody who's not facing eviction necessarily does open it and just gets kind of a glimpse of what happens to real people all the time, that would make me incredibly gratified.
I would say, first and foremost, we want something that is a quality publication that has beautiful art. And I think that we've been able to achieve that so far. And also, like Becky was saying, whether or not you'll ever face an eviction, it's important information to have. Even if you are a homeowner, but you have kids in college that are renting for the first time that may not know what they need to do in order to protect their housing. And so it really is a community education tool, no matter what walk of life or situation you're in. And for the folks that may never find themselves or know anyone that might find themselves in a situation, it is about awareness. And so they can read through it and hopefully be entertained and say, hey, that sounds like a situation that I wouldn't want a neighbor to go through. And maybe I can maybe change my perspective about how I view renters and the types of challenges they face. And so I won't be so against having that renter move in next door because, you know, I think that they're irresponsible and vagabonds or so oftentimes people have those conceptions about renters. And so I do think that it can play a many different roles. Obviously, the most important role is if you know, ideally, a tenant that may face an eviction 6 months down the line, they've read it, and then they do the right things so that they can know what to do when that thing comes up. And the more information they have long before they ever get into that situation, the better off they'll be.
Well, the book is Know Your Rights, Don't Get Evicted, and it's a joint effort by Becky Hawkins, creator of French Toast Comics, and Justin Bury, executive director of the Community Alliance of Tenants. You've been listening to Words and Pictures on KBOO. I'm your host, SW Conser. Becky and Justin, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having us.
Great to be here. Thank you again.
And before we go, well, let's start with Becky. Tell us how to find out more about French Toast Comics, your projects.
FrenchToastComics.com is my website. I have all of the travel comics I've done back to about 2009, and then I have a sketch blog that updates Monday, Wednesday, Friday, usually just a one panel of what I'm up to. I've got watercolors. If you like old buildings and food, you can find them there.
And Justin, tell our listeners about the comic, how to go to the launch party, how to get a hold of a copy afterwards, all that good stuff.
Well, our website is www.oregoncat.org. You can also call our renters' rights hotline. The number is 503-288-0130 if you have any questions about your rights as a renter. And our big launch party is coming up on Monday, March 30th at the Oregon Public House in the Woodlawn neighborhood on Northeast Deakum. I think our presentation will be around 7, but you can stop by anytime during that day and someone will be there and we'll have copies of the comic book as well as they serve great beer and food there. And so you can support this nonprofit bar that they have going on there that is part of their service to the community. So it's a great event and a great opportunity to work with that organization as well.
Well, thanks again for telling us about Know Your Rights, Don't Get Evicted, a joint project with Know Your City. And thanks to all our listeners on the radio dial and on the web. This show will be available later today on the Words and Pictures archive page. That's kboo.fm/wordsandpictures. And be sure to follow us on Twitter at Words and Picture. Now stay tuned for an afternoon of music on your community radio station.
It's time for the KBOO News at Noon for Thursday, March 12th, 2015. In the early hours of this morning, two police officers were shot while guarding the Ferguson Police Department. The shots came as an otherwise peaceful protest began to dissolve. One officer was hit in the face while the other was hit in the shoulder. Both officers were from outside police departments. The officer who was shot in the face was from the nearby Webster Groves Police Department, while the officer who was shot in the shoulder was from the St. Louis County Force. Both are expected to make full recoveries without long-term consequences. No arrests have been made in connection with the shooting. Earlier that night, Ferguson Police Chief Tom Jackson announced his resignation. City Manager John Shaw resigned earlier in the week. A subsidiary of Johnson & Johnson has pled guilty to misdemeanor charges related to tainted Tylenol. McNeil PPC Incorporated, which makes the medication, had to issue a recall in 2009 when its children's and infants' Tylenol products were found to be contaminated with metal particles. According to an FDA investigation, McNeil did not immediately initiate preventative protocols when it learned of the contamination. The company will have to pay $25 million in criminal fees. Yesterday, Governor Kate Brown announced plans for three bills that would improve transparency and ethics in the state government. The first calls on the Secretary of State to audit agencies' mechanisms for producing public records. The second clarifies that the governor's spouse is a public official. The third gives the Ethics Commission more power. Brown's announcement comes less than a month after taking office. She became governor when her predecessor, John Kitzhaber, resigned when it was revealed that his fiancée, Sylvia Hayes, had used her position for personal gain. Three investigations into the couple's actions are underway. One of them is being conducted by the FBI. The Secret Service announced yesterday that it will be investigating two agents who allegedly drove a car into White House barricades while drunk last week. The police officers that witnessed the event allegedly wanted to arrest the agents, but